is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians and can be found on page 1173 of the Pew Bibles. And I will be reading from verse 11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord.
The gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 20 through to verse 31. And can be found on page 1034. So that's Luke 6, beginning at verse 20 through to 31, page 1034. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who ill-treat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. This is the word of the Lord."
And let's just take a moment of quiet to pray. God, our Father, we pray that you will indeed open our eyes, that we may be enlightened in our hearts, increased in our knowledge of the great and glorious inheritance as ours in Jesus Christ. Amen. We often read and hear via the media, which is not always unbiased when it comes to things of the church, of the great decline of Christianity in our country. We are told that congregations are dwindling universally, which certainly is not my experience. And what is denied and what not recognized by those kind of headlines and sound bites that we get is that we are part of the one organization in the whole of human experience that can never decline. Because we are a part of that which we will acknowledge in the creed, that body of people known as the communion of saints. We are included in the head count with that great throng in heaven whose number cannot be counted. And every day, worldwide, including the UK, that number is being added to. The Church of Jesus Christ cannot decline, and we should never, ever allow ourselves to be discouraged by those kind of headlines. We need to pay attention to those places in which decline does take place. But it's my experience that where the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached faithfully, those churches increase. And the reason I mentioned that was, of course, today we celebrate All Saints. Although All Saints Day, strictly speaking, is Tuesday, and this is the nearest Sunday, so we're celebrating All Saints today. I had kind of hoped we might sing that great old hymn, For All the Saints. But only because I wanted to have a moan about it. Because the second verse goes like this. Oh, blessed communion, fellowship divine, we feebly struggle. That's the bit I hate. We feebly struggle, they in glory shine. But it redeems itself in the next bit. Yet all are one in thee, for all are thine. I hate the feebly struggle bit because it's got a bit of truth about it, hasn't it? I don't know about you, but I think sometimes I find myself struggling feebly. And I suspect most of us do at one time or another. But that's not the way it's meant to be, it seems to me. But it's that bit, that next bit. All are one in thee. In thee. We are all one in Christ. We are in Christ. And that is such an incredible, stupendous fact that we need to get our heads round. We are one in Christ. We are in Christ. The problem with hymns like that is that it underlines that great error when we come to thinking of saints. We tend to think about the saints, especially those with a capital S, as those who have done great exploits. We think about their adventures and their courage and the way and their audacity and their conduct, and that's okay if it inspires us and encourages and urges us on to greater exploits ourselves. But actually, sometimes it can be quite the opposite, can't it? We read of the great exploits of the the capital S saints. And it'd be quite discouraging because we think, well, I've never done anything like that. I could never do anything like that. I could never bring myself to that level of personal self-sacrifice and all that kind of stuff. And it can be quite discouraging. It can make us think that of our lack. We don't have their faith, their courage, their vision. And that hurts a little bit, especially when we are feebly struggling. But the essence of sainthood is not about activity. It is about identity. It's about not about what we do, but who we are. And as a consequence, it's about what is ours in Christ. And what is ours in Christ is not ours because of our achievement, but rather because of what God has achieved in Jesus. If you've got your Bibles handy, you want to open them. If you'd look at me at verses, Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14. Paul writes this, "And you also were included in Christ when you first heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." Paul says you were marked in Christ with a seal. That seal being none other than the Holy Spirit who Jesus promised to those who would trust in him on the basis of nothing other than that trust. That the moment we say yes to Jesus, the moment we say yes, I believe in him, I want to embrace the benefits that come to me through his sacrifice and his resurrection. We receive the Holy Spirit, who, Paul says, is a seal, a guarantee of our inheritance. That word for guarantee is a Greek word. It's arabon, and it means a guarantee. Right, that's that sorted then. And when a Roman noble's eldest child came of age, they would receive from their father a signet ring, which was the seal belonging to the father. It gave them authority and identity. It marked them out as being the child of this important person. And in Roman society, a slave who had served the master well would sometimes be adopted by such a nobleman. And he or she would receive that ring on their finger to mark them out as the child of that person. And it meant that they would then, from then on, they would have the identity as that child and the authority to act according to that identity. They would be marked out as one who had the seal. That signet ring would have on the emblem the appropriate seal belonging to that noble or royal person. And what Paul is saying here, that when we come to Jesus Christ, he gives us the Holy Spirit as that signet ring on our finger that marks us out as being special people belonging to God, the very children of the Almighty. And that is only the beginning of what we're getting. Because it is the promise, the guarantee of a promise that God gives us in Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the one who says, I'm God's way of giving himself to you. That is of living in you. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. And with him comes the inheritance of God in a limitless way. God wants us to know that we are the heirs of all his promises. That all that belongs to Christ belongs to you and I. We can spend our lives unpacking that, and I've only got a few minutes. And I just need to bear that in mind. We can spend our lifetimes thinking about what this means and unpacking that and applying it to our lives. Because who you are in Christ, Paul says later in that chapter, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and is It's incomparably great power for us who believe. That power, listen to this, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and for every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but in the age to come. Do you hear anywhere there where it's saying that Jesus is in any way struggling feebly? But the same Jesus is the one who indwells us by his Holy Spirit, in the one in whom we live and breathe and have our being, that power that God has installed in his people is exactly the same power that he used when he raised Jesus from the dead. Paul uses four different words there. I'm not going to bore you with them all, but can I paraphrase that verse? The power that is at work in us and for us is precisely the same power that God energetically exerted when he revealed his right to rule by raising Jesus from the dead and enthroned him with limitless authority and released him to rule for the church. Jesus is ruling over all things for the community of the children of God, for you and I. But not just for us. Jesus is ruling in us and for us and through us. That incomparably great, I wish I could say that. That power beyond compare is at work, not just for us, but in us and through us. God is at work to change things. Now, I don't know what struggles you have. But I do know that God is at work to convert circumstances. Paul tells us elsewhere, doesn't he, that God works for good in all things. In Jesus, he has changed death to life, used weakness to reveal his power, converted conquered sin as a stepping stone to glory. We may feebly struggle, but as we maintain our struggle, we have God's guarantee of victory. That when we find ourselves struggling, we need to remember not the task first and foremost, but who we are in Jesus. Well, I'm a great Western fan, and one of my favourite films is a John Wayne film called The Undefeated. And it was about some people who were undefeated. I thought I'd explain that. But the real undefeated are you and I. There is not a circumstance in the world that can ultimately defeat those who are in Christ, because Christ has already given them the victory. So when you're finding those times of struggle, when you're wondering if you're up to the job of being a Christian, don't focus on the potential for failure. Because even if you fail, Jesus will pick you up and dust you down and get you started again. That is his promise. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who is the paraclete, the one who falls down beside us. When we fall down, the Holy Spirit falls down beside us and says, come on, up you get. Come on, you can do it. Come on, you can make it great. Why? Because you're the very God, very Son, the very daughter of God. You're a child of God. You have got all the power of God. This incomparably great power of God is at your disposal. You cannot be defeated. Don't let the world tell you that you're a part of a declining community. You are not. You are part of a victorious community. The communion of saints is who we are. We don't feebly struggle. Well, not very often, anyway. We may, and even if we do, the power is available to us to succeed, to know the victory, to know the power of God at work in our lives, so that we will never be discouraged. That doesn't seem true, actually, does it? Sometimes we are discouraged. Sometimes we get beaten down. Sometimes it looks as if the world's on the winning side. But that is only because we've forgotten one important thing. We've forgotten who we are. We've forgotten one of the things that Paul mentioned, the hope that is put within us, the hope that is ours in Christ. And you know that biblically speaking, hope is not wishful thinking. It isn't, I hope I win the lottery. Because God hasn't called us to a lottery. He's called us to a certainty. Our success is as certain as Christ's victory over death. It is underwritten in the blood of Christ. It is marked out in large italics by the resurrection of Jesus. We are on the winning side because we are the children of God. We are the communion of saints. We are that blessed communion who know the victory of God, not just in heaven, but here and now. Let's pray. God, our Father, we praise you and thank you that in Jesus our success is sealed. Our inheritance is certain. Our future is written. Keep us aware, Lord God, of our identity, of who we are, and of all that is ours in Christ, that we may never be discouraged, but always live in that hope, that certainty that Christ alone can give. For we ask it him, for, not for our glory, but for his. Amen.